Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
All right. So I guess the big story, at least the big story so far, is that the route changed substantially based on the weather this year. What about this new route have you heard?
They're still having a ceremonial start down in Anchorage, but the new route will go from Fairbanks to Nome. And what's really interesting to me about this new route is that it's actually more historically accurate because, you know, the Iditarod was created to commemorate a run that mushers made in 1925 to deliver serum to Nome during a pretty serious diphtheria outbreak. Basically, what happened is they shipped the serum for the diphtheria to Seward, put it on the train, shipped it on the train from Seward up to Nenana, and then with dog teams traveled from Nenana to Nome to deliver it. And so this route will go from here in Fairbanks out to Nenana as the first checkpoint. And then it'll cross the Tanana Flats and go up to Manly. And from there, it will travel on most of the route from Manly will be along the northern route, which is normally the northern route. The other cool thing is, you know, they haven't run this route since 2003, the last time they had to reroute the race start. And I think a lot of mushers are actually really excited to get to travel a new course.
And that's what I was going to ask, is that I really haven't heard any complaints about it. In fact, it seems like most of the mushers praised the call to do this, even though it's a little bit shorter, I gather, but seems safer and it seems better for this year.
Well, I think it's a combination of things. You know, I think everybody's really excited to see what happens. This race has now kind of been like equalized for everybody because everyone's sort of a rookie with the new route. The other thing is that last year's Iditarod is very likely to go down as the toughest race in Iditarod history. I mean, even like some of the older, most diehard fans and old-time mushers will tell you that last year's race was really tough. Just it was snow-free in the beginning, and then going through the Alaska Range was really dramatic, and there was a lot of pretty serious injury to both mushers and sleds in the farewell burn. And then when they got out on the coast, you know, it was snow-free again from Caltech to Unalakleet, and then this huge ground blizzard came up and took out a lot of teams within 30 miles of the finish line. So I think a lot of mushers are just hoping for a bit of a respite this year from what they experienced last year.
Well, there's some indication that that may not happen. The National Weather Service says we're going to get kind of slammed with a little Arctic blast and maybe some big snow. What do you know about the weather, and what are the teams kind of thinking about this little change in the weather?
Yeah, the weather. So it's supposed to get cold in the interior, which, you know, for those of us who live here, is supposed to be normal, although it's been pretty warm. So I think everybody's really complaining about that. The other thing is that, you know, yeah, there's supposed to be snow, and the problem with the snow is because there's not much of a base, you know, and it might not stick around. If things get windy, then it's just going to be blowing all around and create a visibility issue. Weather's weather. There was a very dramatic start to this year's Yukon Quest, and all the mushers there were just like, you know, we're mushers, and this is what we deal with. So what I do think is sort of ironic in some ways is that a lot of the mushers who did not finish the Yukon Quest this year scratched because of really cold sub-zero temperatures, and it looks like they may actually face that again in this year's Iditarod.
Interesting. Speaking of the mushers, I hear it's a competitive field. Do you agree with that, and do you have any favorites?
Well, I'm an objective reporter, so I'm not going to give you my favorites. So we'll just say I don't have any. But, yeah, there's five returning champions. So we've got Jeff King, Lance Mackey, Martin Boozer, Dallas Seavey, and Mitch Seavey, and John Baker, actually. So I think that's actually six returning champions, if I count again. And then there's a bunch of favorites who fans love and are really pulling for. So, you know, Brent Sass is coming off this incredible win on the Yukon Quest. With a really fast dog team who was able to maintain their speed for, you know, all the way to the finish line this year. And then we've got second place finisher Alan Moore. That dog team that he ran in the Yukon Quest is actually going to be running in front of his wife, Allie Zirkel. Now, Allie Zirkel has been trying to win this race for years. She's placed second behind either Mitch or Dallas CB the last 3 years in a row. So she's very hungry for a win. You know, we've got Pete Kaiser, who is coming from Western Alaska, and he had an incredible win in the Cusco 300 this year. So, 2 years ago, I had Jake Berkowitz tell me, you know, this is an incredible field. There are 15 teams vying for a top 10 finish. And ever since then, I have not seen things change in the Iditarod field. This is just the place to be if you're a highly competitive musher.
It sounds like it's going to be another good year, and we're excited to hear your coverage. I hope you stay warm and enjoy this year's race. I guess we'll hear from you starting Monday.
Yes, starting Monday. So the race starts here at 11 a.m. in Fairbanks, and then we'll be moving on down the trail towards Nome for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, terrific. Emily Schwing, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.